Welcome into Inside LAFC Podcast. I am Max Bretos. We are joined by Jordan Harvey. Big week here, Jordan. A lot to look back at and certainly a lot to look forward to as well.
Yeah, exciting week. You know, that's the luxury of having two teams, LAFC and LAFC 2. You have two chances to actually come away with the 3 points and have some sort of silver lining in the weekend. So, unfortunately, the first team didn't come away with the three, but the second team pulled one out and a really convincing fashion.
We will get into that. And yes, a reminder, if you get a chance, because they're going to be at home again, LAFC 2, Sunday, 1 o'clock local time, down at Titan Stadium. It is a good time. It's a nice product, 4-1 victory. We'll talk about that. We'll have the players to watch. And a little bit later here on Inside LAFC, we'll be joined by the captain, Diego Rosales, who led that team to a 4-1 victory over Minnesota United 2. We will start with the senior club. They were in Minnesota. And the good news, and I was at the PC today, Jordan, and I mentioned to a lot of players, some that are very new with the club, and like Omar and Martinez, and I said, you're not going to have too many of these long road trips to cold climates anymore. So you get those out of the way. So the trip to Salt Lake, trip to Minnesota, springs around the corner. So certainly something that you could sweep under the rug, I guess. But this was a result, you know, that Minnesota United, this was a team that a venue LAFC have played well at, haven't got wins, but gotten some points along the way. A team against Minnesota that they've gotten the upper hand as well. So I know this was a big result for them. New coach in his first game on the sidelines. So they hadn't won at home. They really invested a lot. They took their opportunities. And LAFC, I mean, we can certainly look at the goals in the first half at the end where LAFC was pressing. Defensively, I think LAFC would be pretty happy with the performance, being consistent. Offensively, they need to find ways to get some goals in the back of the net.
Yeah, it's certainly not for lack of opportunities. I do think that as we speak to XG, I do think that the opportunity is there and the expected goals are there. It's just about putting it in the back of the net. And I'm sure we'll get to Bawanga and Kike, but once they really start going and get one in, I do feel like that momentum will carry. You know, going back to what your initial point of this time of the year and the climate and even playing in the altitude, you know, these are the kind of little pieces of the league that, when you're on the outside looking in, you don't necessarily understand or can relate to, but then you get here and it maybe is a, you know, rude awakening for, you know, the different things that the different obstacles that this league and the teams that you play in, whether that's in the time of year right now, when there's some, you know, some storms in Salt Lake or some winds in Minnesota. And then you get into the summertime where it's going to be very hot in those Texas or in the South. And so, you know, players very quickly will learn, will adapt. You know, you saw a guy like Giorgio Chiellini in the past who he's been in these, he's had these experiences throughout his life, but there's still things that are unexpected. So it's just about adapting as quickly as you can and rolling with it and knowing that, you know, you're coming back to LA where it's nice and cool in the right times and not too hot in the summer times, and get back at it. The Minnesota game, though, that is one that, you know, we've talked about their roster. You know, they're bringing in Fragapane, Reynoso off the bench. You know, I do think their team changes as the season goes on, but they did present a very hard-working team that you know, did what they can to disrupt LAFC's rhythm. I think the referee did his part in disrupting the rhythm as well. But, you know, it wasn't until later in the second half when LAFC made some subs that they actually looked like they put their foot on the ball and had somewhat control of the game. You know, I think it was big moments, mistakes, whether that's Murillo not being able to clear it in the right way, the second ball dropping, or just, you know, a lot of people don't understand this. And I was talking to the first team coaching staff today. You can't see it from your couch that there are 40 mile an hour winds gusting throughout Minnesota. The field is hard. I've played in Minnesota. I've played in Salt Lake. There's certain fields that you really need to get accustomed to where if the ball bounces, sometimes it picks up pace. Sometimes the wind takes it off. So it's not as easy as just saying, you know, maybe the ball just skipped by him. You need to take some of these into account. It's not an excuse, but it is mistakes based on some of the conditions. And I think people understood those, maybe more understanding of why maybe those happened and not put too much weight on it.
Well, they see perhaps a victim of their own success and how they have started the season the last 2 years. A rocket ship, certainly, in 2022, all the way through to the tape. 2023, with, the 54 games, there were going to be some ups and downs, but the start of the season was very good. And to think that every season will start there in such a unique – start like that in such a unique league where you've had so much turnover – is it could be a bit naive at times. I get it. We all want them to do well. We all want to see them win every game, but this is a league where it not necessarily works out that way. But we take the positive parts out of this to see that, this is individually, position by position, LAFC have excellent players and they're working on a few things. And I thought what you said about the second half when Martinez came in and Ilya, where they were pushing a little bit more and Bogush coming back a bit, you see some different wrinkles that is exciting because I think we will see more of what LAFC can throw at opponents as they get through here. And again, so much changes in the offseason. New goalkeeper, Eduard Atuesta, essentially a new player, Bogush playing a new position. We will see some growing pains, even though it feels like it's a familiar team. I think that maybe that's the problem as well, where it feels like a familiar team, but in reality, when you also look at the depth of the squad, I would imagine Steve's keeping it pretty close to the vest until he gets a little more faith in some of these younger players that he's leaning into, that it all kind of falls into a place where maybe you don't get off to a great start. We're seeing it. They could easily win these games, and the data would suggest it too. You mentioned XG, and you see when they were able to put the foot on the ball, as you said, the data suggests that LAFC should have done well, and certainly Minnesota shouldn't have had two goals, but this is the way it is. We've dealt with this in the past, Jordan, and the good thing is LAFC usually finds a way, and they certainly find a way to score goals.
Yeah, it's very early. It's 4 games into the season.
30 games to go.
Yes, we are very early in the season, so there's a lot of room to grow. I know Steve Tarundolo has talked about it a number of times, but having weeks where it's just one game a week really allows them time to coach, to teach, to go over video, to review, to prepare, and to really hone in on individual development as well as collective in a way that really they get to sit down and talk about game model and what they really expect from these players. So I do think because it's one game, there is positives to that where you'll see this team get better and better as the weeks go on. You do add some newcomers to it. I see Edward as kind of just picking up where he left off, given he knows exactly what's expected of him within our system. And then even, Eddie Segura, he's a player that, seems like a new signing given he's been out for so long.
Have it on mute for now.
To Edward, he's kind of coming back from having had the knee injury. So I do think that there's going to be some continuity and you'll see it grow as the season goes on each week.
We were going to talk about Danny Buanga and Kike Oliveira. They're so critical to what LAFC wants to do when they're in transition and they're moving forward. Both had a decent look here. And I remember the one in the second half where the ball fell in front of Kike and he just couldn't control it off his header. That gets a better bounce. Who knows? I know they're both eager to get on the scoring ledger. Denny, with the new contract, it wasn't really with the, already what was a short preseason, already getting in there. There's some good signs there. I mean, when you see what they are programmed to do and how they get after it, where do you see the success getting, not just for one, but for both players, where they can help the other player with what they can do, getting behind a back line and getting into those good scoring opportunities?
Yeah, I think week to week, you're going to see growth, just like I alluded to with being able to coach these players. Kike came in and it was just hit the ground running, right, when he got to LAFC. So now there's actual time for him to get settled. And I think you'll be able to see him on the right and on the left as they interchange. and he'll be able to mix it up and really get confidence from kind of the different spots of the field. You'll be able to see kind of his whole repertoire, so to speak. But when you see the numbers, and you've talked about this, like, and you want to see the style of play, I think, you know, Steve even said it, this Minnesota game needed to be under more control. There was too many long balls, and I think it bypassed our midfield, which is, you know, usually our strong point in connecting the game and really controlling it. So, you know, when that happens, it's very difficult then for when the attackers go forward, if they aren't keeping the ball or finishing plays or scoring goals, hopefully, then it becomes this open game and back and forth. And that's not something that, you know, LAFC wants. There wants to be some flow to the game, some tempo and controlling the game in a way that we can set up our offensive marking, win the ball back, have sustained pressure in their half, and not just a back and forth game. I think that is something that Bowanga and Kike can certainly do, but I think now it's more about kind of creating a way in which we can actually make some passes in the attacking third without always having to go. And I think that is a work in progress. You know, the week prior was, you know, you had the Salt Lake game, and so it's just been kind of a little disrupted, I guess, when it comes to the games. But I think it's about focusing on what's on the pitch, and I'm looking forward to this weekend where, you know, I think that will be the sole focus, is really trying to control the game and get back to making passes.
That's really interesting, what you said about go, and breaking the lines passing-wise, which that was disrupted. Some of the passes from the back line to the midfield were broken up, and the midfield didn't get through. We know these guys, and Atuesta is at the top of this. He's a spectacular passer. Ilya Sanchez just a notch below that, and Timothy was pretty active as well, so we feel faith in there. Is it maybe just a pacing thing where you'll find when they hit that sweet spot with the passing – one thing leads to the next, and that can open the door for the guys out wide to get into those spots?
Yes, I think it's picking and choosing the right times to go. I do think that LAFC, and we have had success on the counter in transition moments for sure. But when you don't finish those actions, when it becomes a turnover game, then it starts to open up. Ideally, you finish that action, and then you can set up your block, whether that's higher up the field or in the mid block. But yeah, it's about finishing those actions, or if it doesn't come off, not settling for a shot from distance or a bad cross in the wrong moment, actually recirculating the ball, creating somewhat of an umbrella around the 18 and making passes until you find the right moment off the edge with one of our extremely athletic and talented wingers, if not that, then a fullback, which you've seen quite a bit, so that you can get some real opportunities inside the box. So that will come, I have no doubt. I have no doubt, because I get to see it week in, week out, and see the training sessions and the quality that is happening each and every week. So I am confident that will come out. It's only a matter of time.
Excellent. So we move forward to Saturday night, LAFC, Nashville. This is a rare matchup for Nashville. Came to the league, I think, the COVID year in 2020. So there was a game that was supposed to be scheduled, didn't happen. So not many games between these two. Nashville comes in. They have a pretty clear identity. They'll be very compact. Certainly on the road, they'll be tough to break down, although they're coming off a game that was at Geodis Park at home. An important win for them. They beat Charlotte. Both goals coming from their fullbacks, wide areas. So I think crossing is something that LAFC want to minimize or certainly keep them out of those positions. Hani Mukhtar is a former MVP. Really, when you look at, I think it's the last two golden boots here with Mukhtar and then Denny Bouanga. So it's in a very appealing matchup here, and a spot here where LAFC can get back home and get going. I think there's a lot of optimism. This is a good spot. A good matchup, perhaps, for LAFC to get clicking into those things that we've already talked about here on the pod.
Yeah, and this is certainly a game that you don't want to get into that back and forth battle as well, because you do have Nashville is very dangerous in transition moments, and Mukhtar is is a very good player, and they do have speed on the flanks, and they can put in service. You know, fun fact, Gary Smith gave me my debut in Colorado, so I know him very well. And he put a lot of confidence in me just getting forward and putting in crosses is all that we ever worked on.
Wait, when was that? Was that 2000?
That was 2009, maybe?
2009.
8 and 9. I went to
Philly. But you were gone by, you weren't there for the, were you in the MLS Cup champions? No.
I left in 2010 to go to Philly.
Jordan!
I got picked up in the expansion draft, but whatever. Gary Smith, you know, he does understand the league. He does understand or have an identity, exactly what he wants. And then when you get quality like Mukhtar and you bring in a solid back line, like we all know very well, you have success. And I think them coming in, it will be important for LAFC to control the game, make passes, make sure that those guys can't come out on the break, make sure that when we do get in the attacking third, that we are locked in and creating the right moments so that when we do lose the ball, we are right there to pick it back up and sustain the pressure and finish plays. Finishing plays is very important, whether that's a shot wide or a shot, hopefully a goal, but like finishing plays so that there isn't these transition moments and you can control the game, in the right way. I'm looking forward to it. It is one of those matchups when we've done commentary and you have these matchups where it's, you know, similar styles or contrasting styles. You look at those and see which team will win out. And I think that'll be interesting to see what this game turns into based on our knowledge of how each wants to play, right? So if it turns into a game where LAFC is making a lot of passes, I think we should feel really confident. If it turns into these transition moments, then – that's something that, you know, LAFC isn't actually wanting. But I do think, you know, with the amount of chances that, you know, Matty Bogush had, Bawanga, Kike is creating chances. It's just about getting that first one in the net and then everything will fall into place.
Yeah, we certainly knew that about Denny. When he scores one, they come in bunches, and we've seen it, the proof of concept. So there's a lot of confidence that once it gets going, it'll start flying, and he's happy. He's got the contract. He's ready to rock and roll. And Kike Oliveira, I know people are going, wait, what's going on? But the work rate is really eye-opening. You can see him putting it in there. One thing of note, Walker Zimmerman's is injured, former LAFC defender, so I don't believe he's going to be part of this game. He's out for 3 or 4 weeks. It would have been nice to see him. On the flip side, he's a really good defender, so one less thing to worry about LAFC.
And set pieces. I mean, Walker, he has a lot of success with set pieces, and it'll be something that, people always ask about players. Are you worried about this guy? Worried about that? Like, you worry about the team as a whole. But there are obviously individuals that make big plays, and Walker is one of those. So I'm sure he will be missed for Nashville, and it'll be something where, you know, we're grateful that he's not necessarily, you know, jumping in on those corner kicks or set pieces.
And a full week of training for LAFC to get ready for that game Saturday night, BMO Stadium. Get out there and watch the game. If not, it's available on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. There was a victory over the weekend. We touched on it on Sunday down at Titan Stadium, LAFC 2. Winning convincingly 4-1. And Jordan, we were all down there a year ago, and this was a project, for lack of a better word, that was just beginning. And one thing about LAFC 2, the way LAFC's built it up, and you're with these kids a lot, or these men that are, because we've seen some, it's been a place where some players can get some rhythm and get some games, as we saw with Maxime Crepeau a season ago. But it is a young team. It's going to be one of the youngest teams out there, and that's the way LAFC wants it. They want to see what these guys can do in a situation against big-time pros. Minnesota United had Carlos Harvey and Moses Nyman, who was a big prospect. So you're going up against men, and you're going up against some talented guys along the way. Not only did LAFC 2 win it, but they won it clean, 4-1, nice attacking football. A big shout-out to David Ochoa, who much has been made about his journey. He's happy when you see him at the training. Now he's playing games. That's a really nice development there. He made some good saves. You were there. You saw it. What was knowing the work that you put in with this group, how fulfilling do you think that was for these guys being able to not only win, but win it clean and win it at home?
Yeah, it was the perfect game for what we're looking for. And what I mean by that is the goal is to develop players. The goal is to use our successful and very talented academy as the foundational pieces to this LAFC 2 team. Still very young. Last year went through some growing pains. I think we had an 06 group, 2006s, born in 2006, that is, who really came into their own around the summertime. Now those are a lot of the key pieces this year, mixed in with some of the talented 04s, 05s. But then we even have as young as we had Adrian Sanders, 2008, who started for the team against Minnesota this last weekend. So it's a perfect mixture. And then you sprinkle in one player who's over 21 on the field. That is Louis Mueller, a German player that's played in college and now is joining us. And then David Ochoa, who obviously probably has more experience than all of these kids wrapped in the one with all of the games that he's played with Salt Lake and then even being in with the national team. So when you sprinkle in some of this experience and quality along with the rest being academy players, I really am happy with the roster. I'm happy with the coaching staff, Junior Gonzalez, Fabian Sandoval, who came up from LAC Academy, and then Clayne Plummer, who's been a goalkeeper coach for different MLS sides. You know, it's a man's roster, or it's a man's staff, like guys who have really been there, no MLS, no academy, no second team football. So they have the experience. They manage the players so very well, because it's a difference between managing a 2008 than a 2001, 23-year-old who's on the cusp of, say, a first team. So you have players at all different kind of ends of the spectrum, and you're trying to come together with one idea, which is the LAFC game model, and then in hopes that everybody develops through that. The game in particular, why I think it's perfect, is because you had a great mixture. Average age of our starting lineup was probably 19-ish, where theirs is maybe 23, 24. They had some older guys, you know, and you compete, and they competed very well. The football wasn't perfect. It's the first game and the first 90 or even 60 for a lot of these guys. So that will get better. But the result was there, which I'm grateful for these guys and the staff for all the work they put in. And in getting that lead, you were able to bring in a lot of young, talented guys from our academy, a couple other 2008s. You know, Matt Evans came in. He's a 2006, a midfielder, very exciting player. He scored a goal. And so you're able to do exactly what it is that we're looking for, is get a group on there that does very well, and then supplement that with very talented players that then can get minutes. And you're moving some of these guys from the academy up to the second team. And then eventually, and week in, week out, and Steve Trundle has done a great job of this, bringing in a lot of second team guys in preseason. And then week in, week out, bringing in second team guys into training where they're getting great experience. You have a guy like Luca Bombino, a 2006 left back, who's going against Denny Bawanga every week in training. And you can't replicate that sort of experience anywhere else in the league, right? So I think these kids are getting much better week in, week out. And, you know, it's one victory against Minnesota, but I do think that we played really great football last season, and for whatever reason, it just didn't fall our way. I do hope, given the way the roster is, the academy 1 year older, sprinkling in some real quality that really tips the scales, that those results will start to come LAFC2's way. And then that galvanizes the group. Everybody has real belief in what we're doing here. And then that will create some real quality players.
Belief and morale. I know we talked earlier about how MLS Next Pro is, and there's you tie games, but there are no ties. You win or lose. And what was it? How many penalty shootouts that they were on the short end of last season?
We lost seven every penalty shootout. So seven penalty shootouts last year, and those felt like losses in games that they
– Oh, they had to.
We played so well, came back and drew or had the lead and maybe gave up a late goal and then you go to penalties. It's a really difficult, you know, and we're on this side of it having lost seven. So I'm looking forward to that first draw. Hopefully it's on the road and we can get the victory in penalties to just get that monkey off the back. But yes, it goes straight to penalties after a draw. And I just feel for either side because, you know, sometimes a draw is fair and it's just, but then you go to penalties and there's a winner, get that extra point. And the team that may have played so well, dominated the game, deserves the draw, maybe deserves the win even, comes away feeling like they lost. So it's really difficult. And after seven losses and penalties, it was tough for the guys. It was tough for the staff. It was tough for myself. But now we're looking for a fresh start and hoping that a little bit of that luck falls on our side, because I think the guys deserve it. They really deserve it.
Oh, and they show that, and they went out and they took it. And we will talk to Diego Rosales, who is the captain. We'll talk to him here shortly on Inside LAFC. Luca Bombino, and I know you've told me about him. He is just a delight to watch. He hits these passes. It looks like he can play three or four positions out there. People are going to be really excited about this next group of players, and they're doing it right now for LAFC 2. Wearing the badge. Beautiful shirts, by the way, for the LAFC 2 side. Very smart looking.
I saw those a year ago, and I was like, you know what? I'm not sure about these, but then you put the gold BMO on. You get the gold numbers on the back, and they look so nice. Classic. So
supporters will want to get one of those shirts. I'm convinced of it. I don't know if they're available or not. We'll find out some details.
Richard Roscoe's trying. Available to everybody.
Yeah, we can't get enough jerseys. We love our jerseys. We'll continue that conversation with LAFC 2 with Diego Rosales. But now it is time, Jordan, for the hit part of this show, the Black and Gold Rewind, where we look back at a moment of our incredible history, and it involves you, which makes sense to talk to you about it. We're going back to October 24th, 2019. The playoff game. It was LA Galaxy, Minnesota United played to face LAFC. It was the Galaxy. People were nervous because we know what happened with the Galaxy earlier in the season. And here it was, a chance to either, you know, exercise some demons or have the demons come over. And it was triumphant. 5-3 for LAFC as they marched on to the next stage. You were in the starting 11. Take us back there. Obviously, I gave you the perspective of people like me and the supporters. A nervous game, knowing what was happening with the Galaxy and Zlatan that year. How are you guys preparing for this big test?
It was those weeks playing against Galaxy were like Western Conference Finals. They weren't any regular season game. They weren't even a playoff game. You have to say they weren't MLS Cup, I would say, but I think they were like a final. It was like a final. And like the air in the room or even in the PC in the week building up just felt like everything was magnified. Everyone was watching, even throughout the league. So you felt just a lot of pressure, excitement throughout the week. Guys were, in those weeks, the staff does a great job of just eliminating any sort of distractions. Nobody really comes in the PC. It's just the players, the staff working on what that game looks like. This game in particular, man, it was the biggest game that LAC have had up until that point. That was the biggest game. And, I think Carlos doesn't really show crazy emotion, but after scoring some of those goals, that was the most emotion I've probably ever seen out of him.
In that game.
And there was Diego Rossi scored a goal, and the amount of excitement and adrenaline, and I was so hyped. I picked him up, and I had no energy left, but I picked him up and squeezed him as like hard as I could, and it was like the most probably adrenaline that's ever coursed through my veins in that moment, scoring that goal and just being able to celebrate that with the fans. It was incredible. Getting that, like you said, beating Galaxy in the playoff game, doing it in that fashion. Ideally, it's not back and forth so often. We could have just seen out games against Galaxy, and it just doesn't happen for whatever reason. And I'm going to be honest, when they were coming back, I was so nervous, even on the field, just feeling like this cannot happen again. This cannot happen again. Dio's run after Eddie Segura moved to the sixth position and he played a good pass. He probably claims that it was the right pass, but I think he had misplayed it. Goes to Dio and he just goes the length of the field and ices it. It was the most relieved I've ever been in my life, I think.
And just to recap, it was 2-0 LAFC, and then the Galaxy tied it 2-2. And I think everyone was sweating bullets at that moment.
Everyone was so nervous, and myself included. But, you know, thankfully we had such a talented group that we were able to pull that through. And, again, I think it just meant more to the LAFC players than I think it did the Galaxy players at that time. It needed to happen. It needed to be that moment for us.
Take me back to that moment when they tied it at 2-2, and then you felt that. I mean, what was there that acknowledgement from the team, knowing that, okay, we can't let this slip away, and you guys didn't.
Yeah, and it was what was crazy about it is some of the goals also that Ibrahimovic scored, and I. You know, it was like anything he hit would go in, you know, and you just felt like you just could not give him any opportunity. And I remember going 2-2 and even before that, going up against a guy like that, who's just a giant, and I'm not tall, but like just trying to put my body as much as I can in the way, just catching elbows left and right, just because that's where I am with him. You know, and just trying to wear it and just get through it, you know, it felt like it needed you needed someone to step up. And thankfully, we had a guy like Dio who just when he's on, you know, he's been one of the best strikers that this club has ever had when he is on and healthy. And, you know, like I said, just getting that fifth goal was like the most relief I've ever had. And again, when it goes 2-2, I don't know that there was much said. There wasn't much said. It was more so looking around like, we cannot let this happen again because we deserved it and we would not be able to live with ourselves if we had let this slip away from us in that moment.
Oh, in hindsight, God. It's amazing because it didn't happen. You guys closed it up. So,
but like, yeah, Diego Rossi coming away with his goal, like I said, that was the most adrenaline I've ever had. And then Dio icing it was just like the biggest weight off my shoulders. And I think everybody on that field and in the stands felt the same relief. And then obviously you get the pictures that you did afterwards, which, you know, honestly don't matter to me that much, but there are some iconic photos of the 5-3 and for us, there was always like the villains. I felt like Ibra really loved to play the villain in these games, and Carlos didn't talk at all and just went out there and performed. And so it was nice to be on that side of it where you had kind of the, I don't even, how do you call Carlos the underdog, but like the good guy of the battle. And so, yeah, I don't think we ever talked about, we knew the significance, Bob, the staff knew the significance of the game. We just tried to focus on what that meant. In that game, I actually talked to Ante Razov about this not long ago because things come up and so for some reason we always talk about different games. And we had talked about because Galaxy's success was launching the ball up to Ibrahimovic and we love to press in those moments, that we didn't have much numbers around the ball when Ibra was inevitably just bringing it down because he was so good at that or flicking it on. So what we did in that game in particular was actually allow them to play, make a couple passes so that we could actually lock it down to one side or eliminate them just launching it up. And if they did launch it up, at least we'd be back far enough to have more numbers around the ball. So that was a big tactical shift that, who knows, that may have won it.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Jordan, for taking us in there. That is really interesting. I know the listeners will really appreciate it. And that's why we will have Black and Gold Rewind every week here on Inside LAFC Podcast. We are going to continue here as we return with the captain of LAFC 2, Diego Rosales. We'll get his thoughts on the victory and this group of players moving forward, hopefully for a memorable season down there in Fullerton. Welcome back to Inside LAFC Podcast, joined by LAFC 2 captain Diego Rosales, coming off that big win over Minnesota United 4-1. And by the way, Diego, we're going to get to know you very well. What is, because you can play a couple different positions, what is your best spot on the field?
If I were to choose, I think it'd be center back.
Good choice. Good choice. We all need, especially in Major League Soccer, we need a lot of good center backs, you know, to slow down the scoring. Let me ask you, because when we think of LAFC 2 and, you know, the academy, everyone needs a captain. And we always think of the captain as the guy who's been at it for a long time, but you still need captains there. So what was it like when Junior and the staff came up to you and said, Diego, season 2 for LAFC 2, this is a big one. You are going to wear the captain's armband.
Yeah, I mean, I think it brought me back to the academy days, because the academy I was captain for throughout the year. So, I mean, to be named captain on the second team, I think it's just a great, accomplishment, I guess you could say. But, I mean, I do have a job now to be able to, like, lead the team, lead the players, and, you know, have that relationship with the coach as well. And, you know, to make sure that all the players are aligned. And I know it's not just me. I think every single player is their own leader. And I feel like each player could be a leader in the team. So I think, that's how I feel about it. And I'm just happy to be captain as well and to be able to lead the team.
I was going to say, and, you know, being the captain and just kind of going behind the curtain here, you know, Junior asked you to speak before the game. Is that something I've seen you do it with the academy before games at different tournaments on the field. You know, was that your first kind of experience in a locker room speaking to a group before going out into a professional game?
Yeah, it was actually my first time. And I was thinking about it a little bit before it happened, because I was like thinking about what to say. And I remember telling one of my teammates, Johnny, like figuring out what I was going to say. But I got it down. I stuttered here and there, but I got it down.
I made eye contact with you in the circle, yeah. And I got a smirk out of you. So I hope I didn't distract you by looking you dead in the eyes, but it was awesome, man. And I know it's a tough moment. And I didn't know if Junior had prepared you. It sounds like he told you that he was going to ask you to speak. But those are big moments in someone's career to take real leadership and speak up in front of a group. It's not that you've never done it before, but you know, in that moment, being a professional and doing it for the first time in front of men now, having graduated from the academy, and a lot of kids from the academy, but I'm sure that was a special moment, so I'm glad I was there for it, man.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the beginning for Diego. Look at that, a warm thank you. What a wonderful moment on Inside LAFC Podcast. Going through this academy, but let's even start, because we always talk about, you know, Jordan's got LA ties. LAFC is looking for those local connections, which are going to take time as the academy develops. It's doing wonderfully now. We're seeing guys that have been able to go through step for step. But tell us a little bit about you. You know, when soccer became something that you realized you were good at and falling into a place where you could be affiliated with this new club called LAFC, LAFC at the time. When you look at how this was developed, why did it work out well for a young kid like yourself growing up in Southern California, looking to play soccer and hopefully become a full professional?
I think number one, I think it was my family. I think my family has always been there for me. They supported me along the ways, and all my brothers played soccer. So I kind of grew up around that, and they're all older than me. So one thing that I did learn at an early age was always be tough and, you know, to play hard. So I think that's where I've always got my aggressiveness, how I play. And I always enjoyed watching my older brothers play. And, you know, as a little kid at halftime, when I watched my brothers play, that's when all the little kids would go at halftime and go shoot on the goal. And I always loved that part about watching my brothers play. Not so much, I did like watching my brothers play, but I think also just getting on the field and just playing. And, yeah, you know, along the years, I've kind of grown into, I guess, just enjoying it and just loving the game. And then I probably around after AYSO, that's when I started really, you know, think like taking it serious in terms of where I want to go, where I want to go with it. So,
and to your parents, and I don't want to go off track of your kind of upbringing, but, you know, they're at every game, home and away. That is a huge commitment.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? And any good stories of them being on the road and going to, you know, Houston or Austin or things like that?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite ones was when we had an away game in Houston, and I have family in Houston. And I remember after the game, it was a lot of my family, like cousins, you know, my brothers were there, both of my parents. But I remember after the game, you know, when we're heading back to the hotel, I look on Instagram and like I click on one of my brother's stories, and they got like a whole bus, like they got a whole like team. Basically, it was like a team bus going to the game. And I thought that was pretty funny. So, I mean, I always love their support, and I know they're always there for me, and I can't thank them enough for that.
And then going back to the academy, and sorry, Max, I'm jumping in here, but you've been a part of it from the beginning, right? And yeah, you've seen it grow. There wasn't, and then I'm going now assistant technical director on you, but there wasn't real alignment. There wasn't like a pathway. Mm-hmm. You know, when you first started, how did you foresee it going based on kind of the initial groups really paving the way and not there not being an LAFC 2? Now there is, but what did you look towards and see as like the next step to LAFC before it had come to fruition like it has now?
I think the one thing is I always trusted the process and always trusted LAFC and always trusted the coaches. And I think I knew if I just worked hard and did the best that I can, I knew that something was going to come out of it. And I think having faith, honestly, and just trusting in the system, trusting in LAFC, and just trusting you guys, you know, from the beginning.
And having really, I mean, and we just talked about it, but really great support. Your parents, yeah, you know, having them in and meeting them on a number of occasions, they are your biggest fans, and they are very smart, asking poignant questions and really have your back when it comes to all things on and off the field. So I'm sure that has been a great asset for you as you've come into your professional career.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you play when you were at the Lights a little bit? Did you get to play under Coach Chirundolo there?
I did, yes. I remember the first game was that I played. I got subbed on. I think it was against Galaxy 2 away. But yeah, I was.
But when you look at the coaching that you've been able to get, and talk about that, it was with the Lights, then LAFC 2 the first year, which was a very young team, and you're going after full-grown men on the field, and now you fine-tuned it under Junior. When you look at the coaching, Jordan as well, I mean, what an embarrassment of riches here with all these great coaches. But
with him. He came in when he was very young and trained with us when I was still playing, so I mean,
what was it?
It's great. Yeah.
Were you able to size up Jordan in one of those trainings?
I was just there learning from Jordan, honestly.
we're both defenders, Max, so there's not really sizing up, you know.
Well, maybe on different sides of the field. Maybe you're doing one of your meandering runs and he comes in there to dispossess you.
No, we were playing next to each other or across from one another. And so it was always great to see the young guys and the ones who really picked up our game model very quickly and very well. And I think Diego is one who understood what we were asking of him in those training sessions, or when it was Bob before Steve, and he picked it up really well, which is why he was able to continue training and where he is now, I think.
Diego, when you talk about that, but that's a pretty intense, because you're coming into LAFC and it's all connected, Academy, LAFC 2, LAFC, you're all going to kind of play the same way. just getting that coaching, knowing that's your pathway to being a senior player. How has that been, knowing that, okay, what I'm doing here for the academy, what I'm doing for LAFC 2, all has to channel up on this pyramid to be an LAFC senior player?
Yeah, I think just being a student of the game and just learning. And like I said again, or I'm going to say it again, I guess trusting LAFC and their development, I feel like they've done a wonderful job ever since I started here. And yeah, I think just trusting the system, trusting the coaches, and just following their game plan, and just do your part as well as a player, making sure you're doing your things off the field and on the field, and just always learning and asking questions to see what you can improve on and do better.
You know, we talked about you being a leader and a captain, and where do you think you learned those qualities?
I think from my parents. I say my parents. Yeah, I think they're both different. My mom's more the energetic one out there speaking like that. My dad's more the serious one, and he's also funny too, but he has a serious face and very disciplined, and he always likes to do things right and everything. And I feel like my mom is the more energetic and talkative one. So I think it's a mixture of both.
Take us back to, because we were looking at what you've been able to achieve. You've got a nice body of work. Let's take us back to that Open Cup game against Monterey Bay. Look at that. It puts that was pretty special, right? Because this was like you're thrown into the deep end. You're representing LAFC, and you guys got the result. Take us back to that moment and achieving that really important victory, which I know still resonates inside the club.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of excitement and nerves in the locker room before the game, but we knew that we were going to be a young team out there, and I think we also knew that it was going to be a challenge. But I think at the end, we got the result we wanted. And again, my parents were there also, so it was also special too. They drove. I don't know if they drove. I don't remember if they drove or if they flew. They might have flown out there. But, you know, seeing them after the game, it was just a special moment between us.
Ask them when you see them, did they drive or did they fly for the Monterey Bay game? You got a little homework. Yeah, more homework.
What are you looking forward to this season? What is your main goal? What are you focused on right now and into the future?
I think as captain, I think leading this team I feel like we could go far in this season. I believe we could win this tournament, MLS Next Pro. But I think just being able to grow the team together. I think this year we have a lot of young guys as well as like a little bit of older guys, but more young guys. And I think being a role model for them, being able to teach them and being able to be a leader for them. And also when I trained with the first team, being able to also continue learning and growing in that so I could reach the level that I want to get to.
I'm asking questions out of order, Diego. You were part of the inaugural under 12 team, is that correct, for LAFC? You remember that first day? What was said? What could they have possibly told you, knowing that this is what the club looks like now?
Yeah, I remember it was. I honestly don't know the date exactly. I need to figure out the date. I knew it was maybe somewhere around March in 2016. We were training at it was a college, but I remember they only invited a certain amount of players. So I kind of had a feeling, but we got there. And by the way, Eric Duenas was also there and Brian Moyado. And then that's when John Thornton came and basically said that we were going to be the first group of U12 team. And yeah, I think it was a special day. And then our first game of the season was against Galaxy. Yeah, I remember that also. It was actually here at the PC, but it wasn't the PC before, like the training facility. It was just grass, so it was a bit. It looks a bit different now, but I remember that day. So, yeah, I remember a lot of things. So.
It's good. You're young. You're supposed to remember. It has to be a good feeling knowing that you're with this club. But you said I was there. I can say, and Eric can say, and Brian can say, and John Thorrington can say, I was there from the very, very beginning.
Yes.
And then what was your first experience at the now BMO Stadium? What was your first experience coming to a game and seeing seeing the team, the fans, and what LAFC created, and then being the youngest group there, but wanting to aspire. And obviously that was 2016, so it was 2 years later. But, you know, what was your first experience seeing what was created at LAFC?
I think it was unbelievable. I think, especially the 30-52, I was ball boy. I think the first season I was like ball boy with some of the academy players. So, I mean, having literally front row seats watching the first team, I think it was really fun and exciting. And just to continue on seeing how the first team is and how they are, I mean, it brings me joy that I'm being able to be a part of this, be a part of this club.
Do you have a favorite moment as a supporter, as someone watching an LAFC game, watching the senior team? Do you have a moment that sticks out?
I think it was the first game when at home against Seattle, when they scored the free kick, and I think it was.
You were a ball boy for that.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you give the ball to Laurent Simon to set up the free kick?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a special game, man. I mean, even just being on the field to see that or take it in from that perspective, I think is really cool that you had that experience, because I'll never forget it. But, like, to be on the field to see it, not just from the stands looking down, to be there and be able to kind of like take it all in, I'm sure was a really special moment. And I think it's probably my fault that we're bouncing around, Max.
It's my fault. I'm all over the shop. But
I do want to ask,
this is how we roll.
The off-the-field stuff, because I know it just – just because I work with you all the time, that you're going to school. Tell us about that experience and what's that like. You know, there's a lot of players, and they'll continue to be that enroll at Cal State LA, given the proximity, and it's perfect for training and everything. But what is it like going to school and doing that side of it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like school, but I think it's fun to be back, because when I was in freshman, that's when the pandemic hit, and that's when everything went online. And then when everyone's coming back to school, I stayed homeschooled. Like, I stayed on doing online school, so I didn't really go physically to school. And now being back at the university, it was a bit challenging at first, but now it's more exciting, and just to meet new people at school and be able to socialize and do that.
And what do you tell? I mean, tell the people what you're taking, classes, major. Come on, let's get to know this here.
So I'm majoring civil engineering, but I want to go out into architecture. That's my plan.
And how is it going to lectures and doing that whole thing? Because for me, it was eye-opening to come into a classroom where you're kind of one of, at least at my school, is one of like 200. You know, are there any lectures like that for civil engineering?
There was in my first semester. It was actually an evening class, but I did drop out of that one only because it was in the evening and it was just too tiring for me. But I had to switch that one. So
are you in any classes with other guys on the team?
I was with Moya, or I was the first semester, and also this semester with Moyala, with Brian.
Nice.
We both have English together, so.
We got to learn more about that, because that's one of the questions I get asked, and I don't know the answer. And this is helping me a lot, Diego. It's like, with the kids at the academy, what do they do for school? And it's really well set up. And, you know, for you to say civil engineering and architecture, I mean, that's not, you know, that's a pretty sophisticated studies. And I mean, you could design Jordan's house extension one day and build the pool out, and you could bring Diego on his side job designing. But we'll focus on the football.
I mean, to touch on the education part of it, you know, a lot of the kids in high school now, you know, Diego's into college, but a lot of them are shifting to more online schooling because it offers flexibility, because a lot of the young kids are still in high school, are still training with the second team, right? Right. And so they need more flexibility when they're in high school. But when players do sign with the second team or with the first team, the second team contracts, we do try to tie in an education component, and that is to Cal State LA, where the club is covering costs for an education for any of the LAFC2 guys. So it's something that, again, you brought up John Thorrington, myself, and the club really believes in, is that, you know, despite going professional, it's amazing, but it is difficult. And I think if players now have an education along with it, I know that it's helped me significantly post-career, and I know that it could help anybody. So I think it's really important that the players take advantage of it. And obviously Diego is somebody who is civil engineering. I would have never thought to major, and I'm not smart enough for that.
Well, Diego, let me ask, because we'll wrap it up with this, and we are so excited about what you're doing, but just so people understand, the commitment is required when you have to captain a team, you're pursuing a professional career, you're going to school. Give us an idea of what percentage of free time there is for Diego to do other things.
There's still time.
Good.
Max, you obviously haven't checked out Diego's IG, man. Come on.
I mean, but I don't know. Does he have an AI thing going? Because where do you find the time?
Just wherever. I don't know how to answer that question, but yeah.
Ask these hard questions.
It's gonna get him in trouble, Max.
I know. Don't answer. We'll wrap up with this, because you got called in. You got the short term agreement. You were on the bench. I was at the Salt Lake game.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we won't talk much about that. But when the coaching staff and Steve come up to you and say, "Hey, you made the bench," your reaction? You're on the senior team. You're on the bench. Yeah.
No, I think it's always exciting and great to be able to be called up and to always be on the roster. And I think it just gives you kind of like a motivation to obviously keep going and just to keep pushing yourself, because you're like not there yet, but that you're along the way, you're along the path. So I think for me, it motivates me and also makes me happy to be able to be called up.
That was a captain's answer right there.
Be sure. Wait, did your parents travel to Salt Lake?
They didn't. They didn't, because it was someone's birthday, I think, or something like that. If not, they would have been there for sure.
That would have been a good story too.
Oh, that's beautiful. And real quick, your hometown in LA?
Yes.
Where's your hometown? Where do you call home?
Southgate, Cerritos, Lakewood.
You got the Lakewood and Cerritos ties. That's important, because people from Lakewood, Cerritos, and Southgate can make that connection with Diego Rosales. And Diego, we appreciate you joining us, man. This was awesome, and we're so excited about what's going on with LAFC, too. And reminder for everyone to get out to Titan Stadium to check out all the action in 2024. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good stuff. And great to always be with you. We'll see. Jordan and Beta will be along all season here on Inside LAFC. Make sure you rate, review, download, subscribe, and come out to all the games, LAFC and LAFC 2. We'll see you again next week to put a bow on the Nashville game.